Open your Bible to Matthew 28. We'll talk about the Great Commission today. The Great Commission. I only had one donut this morning, so I'm getting hungry, so this might be a short message. We got food over there. I had two halves, and two halves make a whole, so it's only one. That's not a lie. Forgive them, Lord. They know not what they say. So anyway, I hope you brought your dessert or your side or your hot something. I'm getting hungry and I want to devour that. So this may be the shortest message I've done in my life. So anyway, if you've come this morning and you're visiting with us, you're more than welcome to fellowship. We have a missions dinner afterwards and the activities building across the parking lot. You're more than welcome to join us as we'll be devouring very soon. All right. The Great Commission, what does that mean? What does it do? We have so much stuff coming up that is a distraction. I think the month of October is always Halloween, and I think we do trunk or treat. We used to call it years ago, trick the devil. And that's what we were trying to do because all the different implications, people didn't like that with Halloween. And then we got November coming up with Thanksgiving, and that's always on the fourth Sunday or the fourth Thursday of every November. That was put into practice in 1941. We've been doing that for a long time. And most of you probably already have your Hallmark sweaters out for watching, because after Halloween, it's always Christmas time, right? I'm sure you got your sweaters already cleaned up and ready to go. You got your peppermint mocha and all your stuff. Pumpkin spice. We got to have that for a little while longer. Don't rush all that stuff. But Thanksgiving, we always have the Christmas season, which I don't know if you know, it's 11 weeks away. That's 74 days, 1,782 hours, or 106,869 minutes, give or take, but who's counting? So there's so many things that distract us. And then after Christmas, you have New Year's, and then there's Valentine's Day in February, and then actually Easter next year is April 20th. So from New Year's to Easter is kind of a big, long, drawn-out thing. So Easter is almost by May, and then May is Mother's Day, and then at the end is Memorial Day. And then, man, after Memorial Day, then you begin summer vacation, and holy mackerel, we just got stuff to just take our time all the time. There's so many things that distract us, so many things that take us away. And sometimes it seems like an endless cycle. There's always something to do, is there not? I mean, it's no different. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41, you remember Mary and Martha? And Martha was like, Lord, tell Mary to help me. I'm so busy. And Jesus says, Martha, 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 you're so worried and distracted by many things. And that's what we do. Man, this life is fullest. We have things that are supposed to save us time, and we have less time than we've ever had. And I think in some aspects, we separate the eternal life from the life that we have here and now. Like, well, when I get to heaven, then I'm going to glorify Jesus. I'm going to praise Jesus all day, every day, and praise God. That's going to, but right now, I've got this. And I think we separate the two. I think we forget that this is to be together, right? In John chapter 4, verse 17, I believe, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right now. It's here. And I think that we forget that. And we get so worried about the things of life. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and verse 33, Jesus says this, therefore, don't be anxious. Don't worry about your life, saying what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. We are more, we're more than sharks and mannequins. We don't live to eat and live to wear clothes. That's what most people do. What am I going to wear today? Where are we going to eat today? Most of you are thinking, oh, I could have gone to Texas Roadhouse, but no, I got to go across the way. Yes, you do. Yes, you do got to go across the way, We're all going to fellowship and eat and don't get gluttonous. But listen, we don't need to focus on those things. God has taken the worry about this life. He's taken the worry about the basic necessities of our life. This is spoken to believers. Don't worry about the stuff in this life. The here and now in the kingdom, Paul said, is much more than just food and clothing. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not all this physical stuff. It's a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is something that the world does not have. They do not have joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Because the God of this world has blinded their minds so that they can't see the beauty of the gospel. Amen? Yeah. Let's get into our text. We got a lot to go over. I'm really getting hungry. And we're really going to finish early. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age. Tom Kraft, would you open us in a word of prayer? And we'll get into our study this morning. Amen. Thank you so much. Just want to say hi to Emery and Sharon who are watching. They're watching faithfully every week. Praying for you, Sharon. I haven't forgotten about you. Appreciate you guys. All right. Mission Point, our motto here at Mission Point is love God, love others, and make disciples. That is our motto. That is what we believe. And so we love God because God first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We only know love because God is love. And so when we come to salvation, we know that we love others because God's love has been poured out into our hearts, Romans 5:5. And since God's love has been poured out into us, then we begin to love other people. Jesus said in John 13, 34 to 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And by this they'll know that you're my disciples. Loving another's. Because God loved us. So we love God and we love others. And last and not least important is making disciples. Now, in verse 18, Jesus says this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. In verse 19, he says, go. So when he talks about authority, that Greek word means the governing power. And as it relates to Jesus, he is the governing power over the entire universe. Amen? He created it, spoke it into existence. He owns it. He runs it. And so he says, God the Father has given me all authority in heaven. And so based on that authority, Jesus says, go. You go. Now look, we have been commissioned with power. Titus 2:15, Paul says this, speak the things, exhort, rebuke, with all what? Authority. Speaking with authority. Matter of fact, you remember in the Garden of Eden when Judas came and betrayed him with a kiss and they had all the soldiers and everything? And they go, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes, I am he. And they all stepped back and they fell down. That's speaking with authority, right? We've been given that holy authority to speak. Jesus says, I give you all that authority. Now you go. In Romans, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We got power. We have power. We've been given power. We've been given authority to go and speak. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everybody who believes. I love that. So Jesus says that the Father has given him all authority, and he says, I am commissioning every one of you to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Verse 19. That's what he says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's our commission. What is a disciple? A disciple, or pupil, as the word is translated, is somebody who follows the teaching or way of life of another and submits themselves to the teaching or way of that leader. That's important you understand the word submit, because the word submit is not just agreeing. We're not agreeing with doctrine. We're not agreeing with what they say. That word means to obey. Submitting means to obey. Whatever that leader does, you're doing. And it's vitally important we understand that. Discipleship changes lives because you are looking like the teacher. Evangelism is part of discipleship. Listen, the first aspect of obeying Jesus is believing in him. Believing in his call to repent and turn to him. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent, trust me. That's the first act of discipleship, salvation. Amen? And so that's what we're to do. We're to go and make disciples of all nations. And so that's why after salvation, then we have baptism. That's the first act of obedience. Matter of fact, if you go through the book of Acts in the early church days, as soon as they were saved, bam, they were baptized. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples and see that they get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's why I say as soon as salvation, man, you might want to be obedient to the Lord's command to be baptized. That's what a disciple is, being obedient to the commands of the teacher. Jesus is our teacher. Amen? Matthew 28:19. That's what he says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look, what hinders you from being baptized? Salvation. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that hinders you from being baptized. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says, what do you believe about Jesus? He says, I believe he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. Boom, stop the chariot. Let's get you baptized. Nothing should hinder anyone from being baptized. That's a one and done. That's a one act of obedience. I don't have to continually be obedient to that act. Once I get saved, that's a lifelong process. But my first act of obedience is baptism. Boom, one and done. Now let's move on. Let me find out all the different aspects of what God wants me to do. This is where we see in verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all the things that I command you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age. When you talk about observe, this is funny. We were talking about this Wednesday night. That word observe is the same word that we have in keep. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. John writes this. And by this we know Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. By this we know Jesus if we keep his commandments. That's the same word keep as it is observe. Same word, just translated different into English. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, John writes this. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Same word. And his commandments are not burdensome. What's God's commandments? Love God, love others, right? Greatest commandment, love God with everything within you. Second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. That's part of our motto. And then the third part is to go and make disciples. That's a command by Jesus with all authority. Amen? You with me? Okay. Now, when we talk about keeping or observing, it's talking about following along in line. Matter of fact, that word comes from a Greek, which is a sailor's term back in ancient days. It was a sailor's term because they didn't have GPS. They didn't have any of that stuff. So they sailed by the stars. The word's actually literally translated to keep watch out from above. So they were watching from above. You have to pay close attention to the stars in order to know which way you're going. And that was the idea. Go and make disciples, seeing they get baptized, and make sure they keep a watch on which way they're supposed to go. That's discipleship. Training people up to be obedient to Jesus' commands. And his commands are not burdensome, John says. Amen? This is how we maintain discipleship, by constantly growing in knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Discipleship is a lifelong process. You'll never stop growing. Amen? We are called to make disciples, not just believers. Do you hear that? We are called to make disciples, not just believers. A believer is somebody who puts their trust in Jesus. A disciple is somebody who takes a lifelong time to be obedient to his commands and continually grows nonstop till God calls him home to make him just like him. Amen? That is the Great Commission, is discipleship. Not just making believers. We're called to make disciples, and disciples are people who are obedient to the Master's teachings. We want to look like him. What's the whole purpose of a Christian? Give God glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And everything we do, 1 Corinthians 6:20. And everything of who we are, we're to look like Jesus and imitate him. And he gave God the Father glory and everything that he did by being obedient to his commands. And we're to look like Jesus so that we can give God the Father glory. Making disciples, seeing that they're baptized, and growing in knowledge and grace of the Lord. Discipleship is at the heart of Jesus. Yes, salvation is first and foremost. Man, if you don't know how to witness to somebody, to lead them to the Lord, that's the first part of discipleship. You might want to get saved yourself. If you believed on the Lord, that same way you believed is how you would lead somebody to the Lord. Amen? If you don't know how to do that, see myself or Pastor Matt. We will gladly train you up. But discipleship is at the heart of Jesus. And I want you to understand that. That's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Well, what does that mean? It means go and get people to be obedient to Jesus' commands. And the first command is to believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus. That's the first one. Get baptized. Okay, now I got so much more. And this is how you love God and love others, by doing this. That's a lifelong process, man. I love one-on-one discipleship because you can pour your life into somebody else. And that's what's at the heart of Jesus. Pouring your life into somebody else one-on-one. And hopefully you look like Jesus. Like Paul says, imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. Hopefully we have people that are imitating Jesus. So when you're discipling somebody, they can imitate you because you look like Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he's talking to some Jews that believed in him. And he said, if you're daily in my word, you are truly my disciples. And if you're daily in the word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Continually growing in the word of God is being a disciple. John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. Jesus said, a new command I give you, you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you're my what? Disciples, if you have love for one another. Loving others shows that we are disciples of Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. We're to bear fruit for the kingdom, and so to prove that we're his disciples. We need to bear fruit. Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 40, he says this, a disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be just like him. That's what discipleship is. It shows you God's love for you. When you accept Jesus Christ, man, we explain how God's love for you is just awesome and how he wants us to love him. It shows how we're to love others, and then it shows how we're to make disciples. That's the beauty of that. We're to look more and more like Jesus. Obeying his commands, loving one another. Listen, it's not just about giving people the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, we were so affectionately desirous of you, we were ready not just to share with you the gospel of God, not just to give you the gospel to get saved, but he said, we poured our lives into you because you become dear to us. What happens is that we want everybody and their brother to get saved. I hope you want the whole world to get saved. Amen? I mean, that's at the heart of God. He wants everybody to be saved. The drunk, the drug addict, the prostitute, the doesn't matter. The rich, the poor, the blind, the lame, the dumb. He wants them all. We should be out there making disciples of all people. It doesn't matter. God shows no partiality. But here's the thing. It's not just about giving them the gospel. Believe on Jesus. Okay, you're good to go. No, pour your life into someone. Train them up. That's discipleship. Don't just give them the gospel and let them just... That's where I think we have failed so much, that we just give them the gospel, let them say a prayer, and we don't pour our life into people. You know, some people question their salvation. You know that? Well, how do they know they're saved? Do you have assurance? How do you know you have assurance? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, if you don't know, how can you assure someone else? Amen? We talked about this on Wednesday, and I love this because we talk about eternal security. It doesn't make me lazy. It makes me more productive. In 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge was constructed. In the very beginning ages of it, many people had died by accidents and by falling to their deaths and drowning and so forth into the bay. And so what the managers did is they spent $100,000 to put a safety net under the bridge. And you know what happened? Production increased 68%, and only 10 people were injured after that. Isn't that amazing? Guess what? This is how we glorify God, by producing much fruit. When you've got a safety net under you, get off your butt and do something about it and be more productive for the kingdom. Amen? Amen? Holy mackerel, how beautiful is that? That's amazing. We don't just give them the gospel. Pour your life into people. Pour your life into them. Train them up. Philippians 1, 23 through 24. We're going to bring this to a close. I'm really getting hungry now. Working up an appetite here. Can't you see I'm withering away to nothing? Shut up, Tom. Paul says this. I love you in Jesus. I said that out of love. He says, I'm hard-pressed between two directions. I would love to go and be with Jesus. Amen? I want to go home. I want to go be with Jesus. But he says, to remain in the flesh, to be here, to still live here, is more necessary for your sakes. Can I tell you something? Some drug addict, some prostitute, some person, some, I don't know, some rich guy, some poor guy, some blind guy. Who knows? It may be more needful for you to give them the gospel and pour your life into them than anything else in this world. If God has put us here for a time such as now, don't worry about what the world's doing. We need to be doing kingdom business. We need to be bearing fruit for the kingdom. And it starts with adding people to the kingdom. Amen? Adding people to the kingdom and then training them up to be obedient to Jesus' commands. What I mean is this. It may be a time for such as now. It may be needful for somebody to hear that message. We don't just give them the gospel, we pour our life into them. What does that mean? Next Sunday, we have Trunk or Treat here. And if you haven't signed up, sign up there, talk to Miss Tiffany, whatever. We're going to be outside. If it rains, we're going to be inside. Doesn't matter. We're still having it. Now, from times past, I think I've been here 7 years maybe. In 7 years, I think we've had upwards of 1,000 people on this property at one time during Trunk or Treat. Fantastic. It's great. I'm going to use a Matt Parsons-ism. Can I be honest with you? love you, Jesus. But let me be honest with you for a second. Handing somebody a piece of candy does not save them. Okay, I get it. So guess what you're going to have to do? Something. Give them the love of Jesus through a piece of candy. Give them a Bible verse. Give them some invitation. We used to hand out tracts and stuff. I don't know if we do that anymore. I think that's a little old school. People don't. Put a tract in it. Put some Bible information. Put a verse of scripture in there. Do something. On your trunk, put something up here, you know? I implore you on behalf of Jesus, be reconciled back to God. What does that mean? Put a verse up there. And they go, what's Romans something something say? Oh, let me tell you what it says. Do something, something different. Here's a piece of candy because that's what you come for. But let me give you something more. It's not just about that. It's not just about handing candy because that does nothing. But we're trying to get people on the property so that we can build a reputation with them, build a rapport with them. Because you don't know those people that go to Madison. You don't know those people that go to the same store you do. You don't know those people that go here or go there. You may see that person out there. You'd be like, hey, didn't you come on our property here? Yeah, I did. Hey, do you go to Madison? Yeah, my kids do. Hey, do you go here? Yeah, I shop here. Some people have the same time, the same day, the same week that they go, and they do the same stuff. And you know what? You're going to come in contact with the same people that do the same thing. I can't tell you how important it is for you to do something extra. Handing out candy is great. Love it. Beautiful. I love candy too. That's why all my teeth rotted out. Mine are like Joel Osteen's. Both of ours are bought and paid for. Sorry, that's bad. I apologize. Lord, that's your servant. Here's the idea. You have to give them something more. You've got to pour your life into them. You may see their kids. Their kids may go to school with your kids. You may know their dad. You may work with their dad. You may do this. You may do that. Look at their face. Get their name. Get something. Do something different. Handing them candy is not going to save them. You have to open up. Jesus said, all authority in this universe has been given to me, and now I'm commissioning you. You go. This is a way we can go. This is one way we go. We're bringing them in here. Hey, is there something I can pray for you and your family? Anybody ever said that during trunk or treat? Be a good idea. There's an idea for you. Can I pray for you and your family about something? Are you and your family struggling with something? Hey, do you guys have a church you attend? Say something, do something, anything. Man, be encouraging. Amen? This is the time God created for us to be here for now. And all we're doing is creating opportunities. That's all it is an opportunity. Because you don't know what's going to happen in that opportunity. Do you know that? This may be just a time for now. It may be more needful for you to open your mouth when somebody comes on this property. Come Thanksgiving. Help somebody out by giving them a meal. Whatever. Come Christmas time. What a great opportunity. Oh, Christmas started as pagan. I don't care. It's a way that I give the birth of Jesus to people. Easter is a way that I give the resurrection. New Year's is talking about a new birth. Oh, that's great. Use that one on New Year's. Create opportunities to give something out. We've been given authority and power to go and witness. We need to step up. We need to do what God's called us to do. I can only create so many things because my brain's limited and there's not much up in there. Create new ideas. God has created us for a moment in time like this, and we're to go and make disciples. Figure out ways to build relationships. I'm going to give you one personal to me. There's a friend I went to school with, and he comes. He brings his son. He's only coming because his son wants to go to Mansfield Christian, and he needs a church. But can I tell you why he's here? Because I went to school with him. And I talk to him outside of church, and I text him, and I call him. And he's got a lot of questions. And I love that. You know me, I will hammer you with the scriptures, and I love that. But it's going to take time to build that relationship. I've known him for years, and so he knows the old me. And I need to show him the new me. But he's here because we have a relationship. And he's coming because we have a relationship. And I want you to know that's all it takes. Somebody you knew years ago, somebody you just met, somebody you just, it doesn't matter. Invite him. Give him something. Give him the gospel. Be encouraging. Jesus loves you. Man, why are you so happy? Oh, let me tell you, because I have joy and peace in the Holy Spirit, and I don't care what happens in this world. People want to talk to you about the election. They're like, hey, you know what? My God is sovereign. I'm voting biblically, and I know he's going to work it out according to his will. I have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How can you be for sure? Well, Let me tell you. Use any opportunity. Anything is a way to open it up. Use things that are prompting questions. Say things that's going to force them to ask you a question. Give it to them. That's beautiful. That's the way we're to do things. And here's the idea. Don't get discouraged. Just because somebody comes, just because you hand them a piece of candy, you give them the gospel, you tell them about Jesus, and they walk away, they tell you you're number one, whatever. Don't be discouraged, because that's only one part of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Can I tell you something? We do our part. Whether it's small or not, we just plant a seed. God died for you. I hope you would consider coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus. They may not know what that means. They may not know anything about it. And they may say, I don't care what you have to say, and walk away. But somebody else may come alongside and water that seed, and they may get saved. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 3 to talk about how those efforts are going to be put on our account. Do you know that? Can I tell you how awesome my God is? I'm a miserable creep. If I'm in the flesh, I get it wrong. But if I allow the Spirit of God, who is God, to work through me, He'll get it correct, and I get rewarded for that in heaven. Isn't that awesome? And it doesn't matter what I do or what I say or how somebody else responds. If I'm doing my part, allowing the Spirit, speaking with holy boldness about Jesus, and somebody else comes along and waters and they get saved, that goes to my account too. This is the beauty of Missions Month. Even though I'm not in Ethiopia, even though I'm not in Africa, and praise God, Pastor Matt, when I got the call, I go, oh, dear God, don't send me to Africa. I don't want to go to Africa, man. But praise God, there's people over there. Praise God, God has put in their hearts a desire to be there. And when you support those people, you're going to get a portion of that on your... Isn't that awesome how God works? God is amazing. But here's the thing, and I want you to understand this. God will never give the growth if you're not the one that's planting and watering. Does that make sense? If you don't plant, if you don't water, if you're not doing something, God will never give the growth. This is what separates us from the Calvinist. You got to get off your butt and do something about what God has given you. He has given you the greatest news in the world. I've seen this stupid meme, and I'm going to use it. I don't care. Hurricane's coming. Get off your butt and do something. And people leave an entire state. And we say, Jesus Christ is coming back, and you're running out of time. What are we doing with that? People are dying and burning in hell. Do you not want to help them? Sometime we're going to have to speak up. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed for the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. All I do is give them the truth of God's word. It's up to them what they do. God will always give the increase. God will do the increase. I don't do anything. I just be obedient to Jesus' commands, and I give the gospel. God will give the growth. God will give the increase. God does the work. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them they're a sinner, and their job to respond. I'm just supposed to give it out. I'm supposed to hand it out. We're commanded to make disciples. That's what the command is. That's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. And the first command is to obey Jesus and his command to believe in him. Jesus isn't here. We are his representatives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled back to God. If we won't speak up for Jesus, who will? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. It guides, it directs, it helps us. Father, we are here by your grace, saved by your grace, adopted into your family by the blood of your son, who you gave everything for us. And so we're to produce fruit for the kingdom. We need to win souls. Paul talked about he wanted to come to Rome to have more fruit, which was producing souls for the kingdom, winning souls for your son. It's what it starts. That's where discipleship starts. We have been given all authority and power and boldness to step up, and we need to do our part, Lord, finding ways that we can. We're creating opportunities to get people through the side door so that we can bring them through the front door. We want to bring them down to the altar. We want to watch you save their soul and watch how you work in their lives as a disciple. And so, God, we just want to do our part. And we know you'll do yours. We know you're able. And whatever the need this morning, Father, we just pray that you'd have your way. If someone doesn't know your son as Lord and Savior, let today be the day of salvation. Maybe somebody needs to be baptized, the first act, as we believe, of obedience. Maybe somebody wants to go through discipleship. Maybe somebody wants to learn more. Maybe somebody just wants to learn on their own. They don't know where to start. Whatever the need this morning, maybe somebody's hurt and just needs to leave it at the foot of the cross. Father, whatever the need this morning, we just pray you'd have your way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.